This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Tan Chung Han. 7:48, excuse me, I accelerated time today on Friday.
Slow down, Melissa.
I have magical powers like that. Coming up on the show, we have the breakfast grill just after the 8 o'clock news. And today, Khoo Swee Chuang is going to be speaking to a panel of guests about the escalating trade spat between China and the US. So he's going to be speaking to Tan Sri Dr. Munir Majid, chairman of the CIMB ASEAN Research Institute, as well as Dr. Donald Hanna. He is the chief economist of CIMB Group. And they're going to be looking at what the trade spat means for not just the global economy, but, you know, more importantly, the repercussions for Malaysia. And, you know, Malaysia counts both the US and China protagonist in an important trading story.
Yeah, and for Malaysia in particular, look, China is our biggest trade partner here. So perhaps heartened by this recent news that by next month, China could reduce its import tariffs for most of its major trading partners. Don't know if Malaysia will be included in the mix there. It is an extension of what they had announced previously in July as well. Although, you know, critics will say, well, they're actually coming from a really high base. So even when they cut it by about half, it's still higher than, you know, what other countries' tariff rates are against China, right? So how does Malaysia fit into all the mix, not just in terms of a direct foreign trade, but also in terms of our involvement in the supply chain, right?
Definitely.
I'm sure, you know, we're going to get hit somehow, I would
think. Yeah, let's see whether there's going to be any fallout from this. So let's take a quick look. That's coming up on the breakfast grill, let me just tell you, just after the 8 o'clock news. But coming back to the local business scene, we've got Felda and FGV in our crosshairs this morning. So both Felda and FGV have set timelines for their respective turnaround plans. FGV, it's 6 months to a year. For Felda, it's no sooner than 2020, so within 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, why is FGV's turnaround important to Felda? So we have to do FGV first and then sort out Felda.
Yeah, well, you know, because you've got Felda having that 33-34% stake in FGV. So FGV is an important contributor to Felda. They're like Big Mama Felda, as I often describe them, because they contribute, they being FGV, contributes 400 million ringgit per year to Big Mama Felda. Like, you know, like your ampau to your mom, you know, kind of thing. And, but Mama ain't happy. Mama wants a big no, for real. That's what they're saying. So, according to Felda Chairman Tan Sri Megat Zaharuddin Megat, you know, he's saying that, hey, that 400 million ringgit, that should be higher. So show Mama the money.
Okay, there's a reason that he's saying that, right? He's saying that it should be higher because, it depends on productivity. But currently, it turns out that palm oil prices, as well as the FFB, the fresh fruit bunch yield, is currently lower than the national average. So Felda wants to take a quick look at why that is. But speaking about Felda, it's got its own turnaround plan, right? So it's got this goal of hitting this turnaround plan in 2 years, and it wants to lower its debt by nearly 20%. It wants to hit 6.5 billion ringgit by year end, and by the end of, I think, so currently it's 8 billion ringgit, so it wants to lower down to 6.5 billion ringgit. And the way they're going to do that, Han, is they're going to sell their assets. So look at maybe selling some of the properties that they bought that are not performing that well. But the question is, they have to make sure that they get the right price and the right value for it.
Yeah, as opposed to just a fire sale, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they have those hotels in London, Kuching and Kota Kinabalu. Those tallied up could bring in some 2 billion ringgit, 2.2 billion ringgit or so, right? So the idea is to sell these assets, monetize these assets, not just to pay down their debt, but also to manage their cash flow situation. Because according to Tan Sri Megat, it's almost empty. So they got weak cash flow problems, also due to those low palm oil prices that you mentioned earlier, Melissa. So I'm looking at palm oil prices right now. It is about 2,150 ringgit. This is palm oil futures here, right? It's most active contract. It's at 2,150 ringgit or so, right? You compare that to where it was in May. Back in May, it was above 2,500 ringgit per metric ton there. So it has fallen substantially there, you know, hence you've got these cash flow problems and also the challenges over there at FGV as well. you know, how do they reconcile this with their respective turnaround timelines?
Yeah, so, you know, this comment by Tan Sri Mugga is really quite disconcerting, right, to learn that the biggest challenge, the cash flow, the short-term cash flow is almost empty. Now, he's looking at what this means for them. You know, Felda has not been able to, look to pay what should have been paid to settlers. The poor cash flow is also affected by slow to nil repayment of loans by Felda settlers that amounted to several hundreds of millions of ringgit. Apparently, the previous administration told Felda not to press for settlers to pay back, so they had to review their financial position.
Right.
And, you know, it's about their loans, right? They've taken up a lot of loans from banks. Mm-hmm. So by having weak cash flow, they're not able to service the interest.
Yeah, well, you know, some of these banks apparently or reportedly had given a lifeline to Felda. So we'll wait and see. So this is what Tan Sri Mugga has revealed thus far. You know,
I like that he's being transparent with his investigation, yeah, with his audit. Yeah.
7 weeks into the job. Now, I think he got the gig in the July, I believe, right? But we could be learning more about the woes at Felda at the next parliamentary sitting, which I think begins next month, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, you know, because Felda then in this next parliamentary sitting, they will submit their white paper to the government, and that could address various issues in Felda, including poor planning from the previous management, mm-hmm. governance, and also malpractices.
Okay, well, you know, that's a long-term plan, Han. They want to turn around in 2 years, but for the near term, Felda will have to resolve the controversy over the KL vertical city development.
Yep.
So Felda has to restart a proper discussion with that property developer, Synergy Promenade, over the KLVC development. And now Felda coming from a position where they say they want to take, they want all the land back. And the Felda side has also refuted claims that they're not in talking terms with Synergy Promenade.
Yeah, this following a story in the Edge Weekly, the latest episode of the edition.
Stop watching Netflix.
Again, legacy issues. All right.
Okay, hang on. So let's do a recap of what happened, because if you remember with this case, it was last year, right? Mm-hmm. So Synergy Promenade and Felda, which owned some land, came under the spotlight when there was a transfer of about 20 acres of land to Synergy Promenade to be developed. And that was, I guess, said to be somewhat dubious.
Yeah, well, somewhat dubious, but then MACC went investigated and they found nothing. So then there was this exchange of goodwill where then the developer gave the land back to Felda. And that's what Felda is saying right now. They want to make it clear they have all the land back. But when it comes to Synergy Promenade, they're like, well, we are a short change here. And according to this story from the Edge Weekly, the board and management of Synergy Promenade, that's a developer, could initiate possible legal action over the next few weeks. So it goes back to what you're saying, Mel, right? Mm. This is a near-term thing that they got to resolve. There's a he said, she said thing going on right now, because Tan Sri Mugga says that, you know, well, they are open to meeting. Don't know about what Synergy Promenade is saying about how they have written to Tan Sri Mugga but gotten no response. So yeah, no, we have to wait and see how this resolution plays out into, again, the broader restructuring and turnaround plans for Big Mama Felda.
All right, so that's Felda and also FGV. But let's take a look at TNB. Tanaga is going green. They're looking to sell their gas-fired power plant in Pakistan. They're trying to push forward with a plan to rely more on renewable energy, renewable sources of energy. And I think they want to reduce the dependence on fossil fuels. Currently, fossil fuel accounts for about 70% of their power generation.
Yeah, and also at the same time, they are increasing their stake in this Gama Energy AS, which is in Turkey. It's a company that produces electricity using water, wind, natural gas, right? So this push that Tanaga has towards sustainable electricity or renewable energy, rather, that seems to be in line with the agenda set up by the Energy Minister Yeo Byin, because I think she said this week at the conference there that's in town, she's confident of meeting that 20% RE target by 2030 versus the current 2%. So they got to increase that by tenfold by 2030, 12 years from now.
Wow. Okay, that's a lot. Tanaga specifically wants to increase fivefold the amount of energy it produces from green energy by 2025. Currently, 280 megawatts produced from green energy, and the goal is to produce 1,700 megawatts by 2025.
You're not saying megawatts right, though.
How do I say
it? You got to say it with gusto, you know, like in Back to the Future, you know, like megawatts.
It's gigawatts.
Yeah,
I know. It's gigawatts in the future.
But that's misrepresenting your Tanaga. They're only doing 280 megawatts, so I can't be saying gigawatts. They're not interchangeable. But it's the manner, it's a presentation here, Mel.
Okay, you forgot.
Megawatts.
You forgot to put the exclamation point behind. Okay. But coming back to renewable energy, this reminds me of comments that the Prime Minister made about nuclear energy. So he said that Malaysia, we generate energy by burning fuel, coal and other sources. We don't believe in generating electricity using nuclear power.
Yeah, so there's this decision for the Malaysia Nuclear Power Corporation to be shut down soon. And we had them on the Breakfast Grill last year. So you can check out that podcast, probably one of their final interviews before they were shut down. But then here's the thing, right? I mean, for all the scares around nuclear energy, right, it doesn't emits any greenhouse gases. So it's one of the cleanest energy forms out there. But you've got the likes of Germany as well. They plan to shutter down all their atomic reactors by the year 2022, I believe. It's in line with the whole Paris Climate Agreement. But here's the thing, right? While the rest of the Paris Climate Agreement signatories have tried to make this move away from fossil fuel burning, here in Malaysia, you've got comments from the Prime Minister saying that, hey, we still like coal over there in East Malaysia. He says, and I quote, "We have a lot of coal resources, not only in Batu Arang, but in Sabah and Sarawak as well. I think we should exploit local coal resources rather than keep importing." End quote.
Okay, hey, all right. So everyone has an opinion about where energy should come from. All right, we've got the 9 o'clock news bulletin coming up next with Lynn Mark, and she's going to bring you the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia. Over to you, Lynn. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.